Okay, good. We got two recordings going. Let me take a sip. Yeah, fuck it. I don't need a sip. This man doesn't need a sip. This Iron Man.
This man.
This man across the mic from me.
Oh, that's funny. This man doesn't need a sip.
Fuck it. Let's start.
Let's
welcome.
Smoke radio.
Welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today, no other way to say it, the lovely Grant Paulson.
I appreciate that. I feel like a female celebrity, scantily clad, on like Letterman show or something. Everyone's always lovely when they're on it.
That is
night
how
show.
I feel anytime I have an interaction with you, because you are the sexy bitch of this radio world of ours. You come out and I get flustered, like when Drew Barrymore pulled out her tits for him, circa 94, back when you wanted to see those, when she's all greasy haired.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. That is one of the great, awkward, and wonderful compliments I've ever been given. But I will also just say, I'm not convinced that her breasts were exposed.
Oh, you think, she might have done a pasty thing?
I think it could have been some kind of sleight of hand, some Hollywood being displayed there. I'm not sure.
I would not be shocked.
It is fact that David Letterman has seen more of her than we have. I believe
yes.
That is fact.
It's just funny, though, because it's one of those things where it would come up years later, and she could obviously say, oh, my God, I didn't show my tits to Dave. What kind of person do you think I am? And the response from anyone saying it would be like a dirty hippie whore. Like, it's very believable you would show your tits to David Letterman on a national show. So don't pull the shocked routine, lady.
The shocked routine.
The shocked routine. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com, houses both uploads we do. We do two radio shows a week, and they're up there every Monday, every Thursday. I was having lunch with Mr. Grant, the... Grant, what are the titles you even want to put out there? You do everything.
I am a Redskins beat reporter in D.C. on CBS Radio, and I cover baseball for MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM.
There's so much more you do, and
it's
you're
good
so
for
good
now,
at those. It's like if I had Elvis on the show, and he's like, I sing a little. You're a little beyond that, but okay, I'll take it. You want to get a hold of Grant on Twitter. Funny guy. Tons of great sports insight, but also very funny.
If you like tweets about midnight movies,
yes,
buffalo wings, or football, my Twitter account is for you. At Grant H. Paulson. And before you accuse me of being Jonathan Taylor Thomas and loving my middle initial, just know that's not the case.
You are stuck with Grant H. Paulson because some Grant Paulson will not budge.
Won't budge.
Who is this intractable ass of a man?
I don't have him in front of me, but I've looked it up enough to know he has tweeted, I swear to you, this is not a joke, one time.
That is the worst.
It was three calendar years ago. He tweeted once, and he said,
it was literally just, fuck you, anyone else named Grant Paulson.
No. Here's what it was. It may as well have been that. I don't know what the person's name was. It was like code for something.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a letter, I believe. Let's say it's J.
Okay.
He's like, I can't wait to see J, just the letter, not a name, on Glenn Beck tonight.
Oh, God.
All he tweeted was that he couldn't wait to see a guest on Glenn Beck. He was so excited he created a Twitter account to tell the world and no followers how excited he was.
And
he's never tweeted since.
How many @s have you sent to this character?
I never have. I know, like, one time I was complaining about this on the radio, and someone called up and said, yeah, I just looked into it. He's got, like, 31 followers with, like, Redskins emblems and stuff like that. So I think he's probably approaching the 50 follower count now.
This is your version of someone having papasbasement.com.
It is.
It's horrible. I cannot get a hold of the broad that owns that site for the life of me. She's based somewhere in Ohio. I've even sent her snail mail. The email bounces back. The calls go to some dead number.
What does she need with papasbasement.com?
It is a picture of, a badly drawn picture at that, of a girl waddling down the stairs with, I believe, some special needs looking dog looking up at her. A couple toys in the background. It says, Papa's Basement, coming soon. We've been waiting since, I believe, June of 07 for what Papa's Basement's going to be. And this site re-ups all the time. I can only assume it's a fuck you to me. I'm not 100%, but like 99%. Why else would you just keep... I've had dumb website ideas, Grant. I just let them die the next year. Like, I can't wait until GoDaddy hits me up. And they're like, hey, remember that thing you thought was going to be big for 2 weeks and then you quit? Do you want to pay another $14 for it? And I'm like, God, no. Get it the fuck out of here.
couple of things in play as I was listening to that. Number one, you're the guy who always thinks when someone like is driving poorly next to you or cuts you off,
it's to wrong me.
That it was because they're mad at you.
Yes.
Not because they're texting or they're an awful driver.
No, no.
Or they're in a rush getting
perfectly
somewhere.
Perfectly in control of everything in their life and right now 100% focused, screwing that black
Honda. Understandable. The other thing is, you mentioned GoDaddy.
Yes.
And I, at the risk and reward here, potentially, of ruining a good thing, which is this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the GoDaddy Super Bowl commercial?
I have a penis between my legs, so yeah. Yes, I saw it multiple times. Okay. They aired it 2 to 3 times. Most memorable GoDaddy spot in several years, I'd say.
Well, that's because finally it wasn't just Danica Patrick in like some leather outfit or something.
Yeah, and us having to act like she's a Stone Cold 10. I mean, we'd all have sex with her, don't get me wrong, but there's better out there.
Apparently the scale for like female race car driver is +2 or something. Because she's like 7.5. We're supposed to put her in like a 9.5 pedestal.
It's because she can do something other than get herself waxed and put on makeup. She actually has a talent. It's the same thing with singers. We kind of give them like a point or two because you do things.
She's got a good skill, Beard. And I give her a lot of credit skill. For that. And she's talented. And I commend her for being a good driver. She still has not proven to be one of like the best on her circuit, I don't think. She doesn't
Hell
win
no.
regularly, but... She is one of the best drivers.
She finally
in the
got
world.
Like a win, so, right?
A win. I think yeah. one of those. And I'm not even positive that happened. I'm going to take your word for it.
I believe there was A-H.
I don't follow those.
Not A win, A win.
But I tell you all this just to point out that I contacted the red haired nerd. For those of you who didn't see the commercial, GoDaddy is combining like sexy with smart. So they have a model who is a certifiable dime.
Oh, Bar Raffaelli or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
You know, Leo DiCaprio saw fit to screw her for almost a year, which for him is a lifetime.
Didn't they get married or no?
No.
Okay.
But like he's so able to get whatever. Like his sex is measured in inception years. You know, like when they go into Inception world and they build an entire lifetime together, but it's really 6 months.
Right.
He screwed her for almost a year. She should come out of that like I was the love of his lifetime.
And in this commercial, she is making out with the nerdiest kid from your math class freshman year.
A disgusting hump of a being who, if you want to Google it and get weird, here's a fact for you. He's apparently a well-known movie extra and has been in countless movies for 3 to 5 seconds.
I know this because I IMDb'd him in a quest to find him out.
To find him and kill him.
Right.
But to taste his lips before he died.
Jesse something is his
You're right,
last
yeah.
name. Long story short, I believe I'm going to be speaking with him this weekend on my radio show.
That is amazing.
And my whole goal is literally, someone's like, what could you possibly want to ask him? I want to ask him about making out with the chick.
Of course.
And I want the interview, if it goes well, Beard, to be as awkward as the commercial was, to uncomfortably just ask him about kissing one of the most beautiful women on the planet.
Now, are you going to gamble that he's just awkward? Like, he's going to get on your mic and be like, yeah, it's really hard not to rape her. And you're like, wow, okay. Or are you going to lead it there and gamble that he's a professional and you're going to have to do some work to make this guy seem a creep?
My thought when I originally booked this was, I want to talk to
Great
this
booking,
guy.
By the way. I'm sorry.
I mean, this. My whole goal was, I need to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I see something on TV and I say, I don't want that. I need that. I need to have a conversation with this guy to get to the bottom of it.
I feel that
take
every time I
shovel.
See a Hardee's commercial. Cheese fries?
Yes. I need to take out a shovel. I need to find out how this all came about.
Okay.
How does he plan and prepare for it? Supposedly, it took 45 takes. I mean, do you purposefully just pretend like you don't
have a kiss? I would just be like, oh, did I rip my shirt open and ruin this one again?
Now, the other part I need to figure out here is I need to do investigative journalism on. They had a commercial, final product, that supposedly was turned down by the NFL or CBS or whoever it is that you have to clear it with, that was too raunchy for television. So I want to know what that involved.
Do you
I also
really believe
know,
that, or do you think it was just to drum up hype for GoDaddy? Because they do that all the time.
Yeah, no, I buy that.
Okay.
I mean, in a commercial like that, look, I was watching the game with my parents and siblings and other people. I mean, that was uncomfortable. You know there's a couple versions of that. But if you're this kid, what I need to know is, I hope you took advantage of, like, awkwardly trying to grab a boob or something. I mean, you couldn't have just sat there and kissed her the
whole time. Because the veneer professionalism only goes so far. At some point, you're not going to be like, dude, I'm just an actor. She's right. an actress. It's no big deal. You're like, I have a model shoving her effing tongue in my mouth. This will never happen again. This will never happen again. Enjoy it.
And if you're him, I think there's a is the juice worth the squeeze thing going on in your head, too, where even if you get in trouble and, like, you grab a boob, she gets furious, you're not in the commercial, and it never works out again, that might be worth losing a career that really never got off the ground.
How much lower do you go than unspeaking extra?
You're getting paid $8 an hour.
Do they just stick you behind the craft services table at that point?
My buddy, I told you earlier, went out to L.A. and right now is an extra, and he's getting paid like $8 an hour, and he'll go to a set, and they'll tat his hand up, and if they put ink on you, they'll pay a little more, whatever. The guy on GoDaddy is a level above that. He's been in a lot of movies, I suppose. But my point is, at some point, the debate has to be weighed internally. Is grabbing on her and annoying her potentially worth maybe never doing another gig again?
Where would you fall on that?
It would be a feel it out in the moment thing, I think.
Because I think...
Were the sparks flying, Beard? Are the sparks flying between me and her? That's what I need to know.
You know, she, as a beautiful woman, is a master of flirtation. So she's done enough where your head's all discombobulated and you're like, I think there's something here.
So true.
Because how much does a pretty woman like that, when you encounter her, have to do before you're like, holy shit, I think there's something here.
But here's another problem that you bring up, too, is in general in life. Any female.
You're right. The Hooters waitress could do that. Exactly. You're like, I'm different.
Right. But honest to God, this is going to sound terrible, but hey, I'm in Papa's basement.
It won't hear.
So this won't be the worst thing that's said in the next 2 minutes. This
will be the most chivalrous thing uttered until June.
So, and I feel bad about this in advance, but because of my company, I'm okay saying this.
Oh, yes.
No offense, Beard. If a female is just pleasant to me, I assume she wants to marry me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking about this with a buddy the other day. There's this girl who we kind of work with. And it's not at one of the radio companies, but just, you know, she works for a company that we deal with from time to time. She very normally goes about her day and her business just being a polite, friendly person. But my buddy said to me, he's like, yeah, I had an interaction with, we'll name her Jennifer.
Okay.
I had interaction.
Sexy name. I like it.
I like
Good
it.
Choice.
I had an interaction with Jennifer. Do you think that this was, like, flirty? And he, like, reads me a text correspondence, right? And it's very simply, it's, like, her with, like, one smiley face after, like, have a good day or whatever.
Oh, she wants it. Go on.
No, she doesn't, is the thing.
What?
Dude, I'm telling you, an emoticon does not... Chicks are friendly. They're friendlier people than guys. And this is my point. You just automatically assume because of a smiley
emoticon.
Face emoticon. No, it's not a game changer.
God, that's because... You want to know if an emoticon means something? Send one to a guy and see how he reacts.
Okay, I agree, but we're a different species or people or group of beings.
So you mean when women are blind to... When you're dating a girl and she has a friend who's just fawning over her and she's like, what do you mean? He doesn't want to sleep with me. Are you right. nuts? Are they being serious? I thought they were just playing me like a damn fiddle.
They're being 100% serious. But
some
emoticons do mean these things. This is where it's confusing. Uh-huh. But on the back end of have a great day, on the end of a very professional conversation, you assuming it means she wants to marry you and have all your children.
What about the wink?
Is hyperbole.
What about a wink, though?
A wink or a tongue-out emoticon is a little bit different.
Okay.
But the wink, it doesn't, in a vacuum in and of itself, it does not equal more. Unprofessional is my point.
I wish women could understand what those emoticons mean to us.
I agree, but the whole point of telling you this is, so we're at dinner this night. He's saying, is this unprofessional? I'm like, no, stop it. You're being ridiculous. I swear to you, I had an interaction with her a day before where she had sent me a have a great day smiley face, just a similar conversation because we're in a similar business.
So you see and this, and your first thought is, whore.
No, my first thought was, I guess I'm not going to ask him if she likes me because he just did this to me and he looked like an idiot doing it. A new subject. So, you know, the Lakers are playing better. That Kobe sure is a distributor now. I mean, I had
bad
nothing.
Bad knee be damned.
Right, I had nothing.
Wow. Wow. God. So are you thinking, I this is just mind shattering. I don't know what else to say. I'd like to think that anytime a woman, because how else are you going to get your foot in the door, Grant, unless you interpret these niceties as flirtation?
Well,
because otherwise it's simply, does a girl have to go wild in front of you to indicate some sort of interest?
I mean, generally speaking, I am conservative in this regard.
Me too.
So
which is weird because we're both handsome.
We are.
We're both very handsome.
You look like David Beckham. I look like Jude Law. And yet, damn it, we just don't know it.
You're selling yourself short. You're not current Jude Law. You're Jude Law with hair. Don't forget that.
That's a great point. I am Jude Law on Road to Perdition.
Exactly.
That's who I am. I'm awesome Jude Law in a suit, and damn it, Tom Hanks, stay out of my way. I think, Beard, I think, for me, it's a fear of rejection thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to ask a girl to prom if I didn't know she's going to say yes. When I'm engaged, or I guess before I get engaged, when I'm dating and about to get married, the girl will help me pick out the ring, and she'll know when I'm going to propose.
I thought it was going to be five or six of her friends have approached you separately. When is this going to happen?
No. Well, that probably will happen. That's a lock. But I'm saying we literally are going together to the jewelry store so that she can say,
and as soon as you'll buy it, you'll be like, so dinner this Saturday?
So, exactly. As we're leaving, so got any plans for, I don't know, Wednesday? Maybe we'll go to the place we met.
Yes.
Could it be any more cliche or awful?
Eat
for her?
The dessert I get you slowly.
But that's just me. I mean, that's where I'm at. I am a fear of failure guy. So I'm not going to go out on my own and be the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm great in a setting where if I'm out with like you and one of our boys, I can be the guy that does the shtick and drums up the interaction and builds
a
rapport.
No, you are a typhoon of game.
Well, that's
amazing.
Excessive.
No, it really isn't. The word falls short of what you can do. You are an all-consuming tempest of charm when out on the town.
Oh, man.
You just set Grant down and watch the circle form around him. Like drowning Japanese sailors being sucked to their demise. That's what Grant offers when it comes to charm and attraction.
Oh, you almost got your first Beard chant of the day right now.
I'm working
hard. I feel good
for
about
it,
Beard.
Which, by the way, I want to put this out right now. We have a bit of an age gap. I'm almost 32. You're 24.
Right.
Totally was where you are right now at that age. It's not that you get braver with time. You just stop caring as much.
Apathy sets in.
Apathy. Yeah. It is not courage, just apathy.
Right.
Where it's like, I got rejected. Okay.
I have a lot of friends who have always been like that. Who just don't...
They're just hardwired differently,
to
though.
Me, yes, it's a different wiring, but this is the difference between, like, guys... And I've never been a guy who... I'm just built in a way. I'm not, you know, a guy who's out at a bar every night looking for a chick. I'm not a one-night stand guy. I just... I'm cut from a different cloth than most of my peers in my age bracket. Always have been. But most... The difference to me, most of the time, between the guy who is seen as like the ladies' man and everyone else, mm-hmm. is that he just doesn't care. Because
yes.
he's going to fail way more than you. Because he's going to be in the batter's box way more. So he's going to lead the league in strikeouts. He's Adam Dunn.
Yes.
He's just going to hit 42 bolts. See, I'm going to hit
a swing at
goddamn
anything.
Two or three home runs. I'm a second baseman.
Yes.
But damn it, I make contact.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not up there flailing at balls in the dirt. I'm only going to hit when the pitcher throwing the ball has no all-star potential.
No, that is completely what people need to understand. Anytime they are wowed by someone who gets quote-unquote laid a lot, if he is not a celebrity, he is not a possessor of worldwide fame, like you said, he's batting one out of five, maybe. He is just taking cracks at every skirt that walks by. And it's simple as that.
Yeah.
And you and I don't really care for that. I would much rather find someone, A, I'm very attracted to, B, that I like,
yeah.
C, really try to soften it up, and then D, I go for it in a slimy, backhanded kind of way.
Well, we're good upstanding men, Beard.
Like, is this a date?
That's what's coming out of
it. We're at the movies. Is it a date? I don't know. Maybe. Do we want to put a label on it? Okay, it's a date.
If you need to call it that,
exactly.
Call it what you must. I'm here to eat popcorn, drink Coke Zero, and watch Denzel fly a plane. That's why I'm here. By the way, did you see Flight?
I did not see Flight yet. I've heard his performance is great. John Goodman is always awesome.
Fantastic.
And the movie is kind of meh.
Goodman's character is fantastic.
Okay.
I actually heard yesterday, I was watching TV, it was some of the people that have it so critically acclaimed are saying it's Denzel's best performance, which I'm not okay with.
Really?
Denzel was...
You like Glory, the solitary tier.
Denzel was a stud. Denzel's had 10 performances. A guy like that, I don't think you could just say anymore his best performance. I think you owe him more than that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're saying at this point he's just established, like, this is a top-tier Denzel performance.
Correct.
Like, you wouldn't see...
This is in the pantheon. But it's almost, to me, disrespectful to be like...
Well, it's also the ease, probably, with which they're saying it. Like, you wouldn't see the latest De Niro and be like, oh, his best movie ever. You'd be like, I'm sorry, The Raging Bull?
Right.
The Man Who Drives the Taxi?
Yeah.
Godfather 2, ever heard of it? Yeah.
There's a couple on that list. But let's be a little bit more cognizant of Denzel's career.
Because I feel I'm lacking on Denzel. I know you love the guy. What are his tops? To me, it's like Training Day. I'll still watch Training
outstanding.
Day.
Outstanding. Okay. I mean, and by the way, that role, which might be one of Denzel's best. Again, I'm not willing to just say that there is a best role. I'm not going to do that. But that's Denzel in his element. That's Denzel handpicked, angry, and gonna holding a pistol and getting vengeance.
So you like darker Denzel, because the one thing...
I think Denzel's at his best darker.
See, the one thing he just has that smile where he looks like too nice and pretty to be an evil person. That's the one thing that sucks
me out of
those roles.
Okay, but give me a movie, though, where he's got that smile and he's just a nice guy and a good guy and he's awesome.
Well, I can't come up with much off the top of my head.
Right, that's my point. You look at, like, even movies where he's the good guy.
Okay.
Where he plays Creasy. And he protects Dakota Fanning.
Man on Fire.
Man on Fire.
He's still
such
a badass
good movie.
There, though.
In that movie, he's a good guy. His whole character is built on a guy who does not smile. I mean, that's the point. So I can't buy what you're selling on that, but...
I'm not familiar with his kind of work overall. I've seen a lot of Denzel, but it's more incidental, whereas with you, it's like, oh, the new Denzel's out. Like, I saw The Last Stand with Arnold, because I'm like, I gotta see Arnold, I'm sorry.
I'm not okay with you doing that.
I know, I was harshly scolded in the car on the way over, but I've learned my lesson. I will own up to what I did.
You owe Arnold, I understand. He's meant a lot to you.
He has.
We just don't have the same connection. I'm not a bodybuilder like you.
It's true. You have that Jude Law, you're chiseled,
right?
But not what would... Someone would say muscular.
I'm more wiry chiseled,
yes.
Is what I would...
Like a football player, European football.
I am George St. Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
You're Brock Lesnar. That's the difference.
Exactly. Both of us look intimidating physically in our own way. You would not want to hassle either of us.
Correct.
And the women, they can kind of pick and choose, but at the end of the day, they'd be okay with either of us in their beds.
My favorite bit...
This can keep going.
My favorite bit that we're doing today is just completely... using radio to our advantage, where we've now compared ourselves to, like,
I'm black now.
Four of the guys who are just like pillars of, like, sculpted awesomeness, and or chicks want to be with them very badly. And we're just 5 minutes from now, you'll be Leo DiCaprio and I'll be Ryan Gosling. I don't know how or why.
It is heyday. None of that Shutter Island crap. I'm a young Gilbert Grape.
What Mrs. Marshall is trying to say is there's a 44th patient. Leo's fake Boston accent is my favorite.
Oh my
Let me try that again.
Do it, please.
I only saw this trailer in theaters 113 times because it got pushed back 9 times. What Mrs. Marshall's trying to say is there's a 44th patient.
So damn spot on.
I mean, he's done, because he did Departed, which is my favorite movie ever.
Departed.
So he's had some practice.
Have you watched the original?
No.
It's okay. It definitely... Anyone who wants to sound intellectual and say, oh, Infernal Affairs was better, smack them once. Not twice, because they don't know any better, but once.
Such a good movie, The Departed.
Departed's great.
I'm ride or die for Scorsese.
You know, I was like 20 years ago.
Well,
I mean...
Look, if he came out with something tomorrow, it'd be probably not as good as Departed. But I'm saying his body of work in general. Anytime you commend a guy like him or Spielberg or somebody like that, it's not about like their next project. It's about...
It's understood. It's right. The good years.
Exactly. Nobody's going to be on top of the mountain.
No, you're right. You don't commend
duration.
Jim Brown and then say, now go out there and run the ball for us, son.
Right, exactly. So it's for these years, what he did was better than anybody else.
Yes.
But
his top is, for me, that's a Denzel thing where it's like, pick your favorite Scorsese. I think he's knocked it out of the park and Into the Lights, you know, had a natural moment five times.
Robert Redford.
Yes.
Yeah, he could count them on probably more than one hand, you know, how many home runs he hit. But right now, of the movies that have either just been in theater or are in theater, Oscars coming up, there's a few I'd say you have to see. I'll just run through the top five really briefly.
Okay.
The number one seed for me, by the way, a shocker, I hang out with you one time. We end up talking movies the whole time.
Oh, I know.
This is my bit. number one seed for me is, at this point, the best movie of the year was Argo. I thought Argo was outstanding.
I need to see it. To me, Argo says, find me on HBO. You're going to have a great Saturday with me, but don't find me in the theater.
Get a bag of Orville Redenbacher and your sweatpants, and it's me and you.
Yeah,
for the
treat
day.
Me like you would a fancy at-home movie.
Right.
Don't, if you're going to use the restroom, hit pause. I deserve that. I'm Argo. But it doesn't. I think part of it that was ruined for me is I heard the real story of what happened, and just that all the action stuff was crap, and there was no real tension getting these people out. I've heard it's a good film overall, but a lot of people were just like, it's a film made to make a film.
You need to see Argo, period.
I will. I mean,
I prefer it in the theaters, but if you're going to wait, that's fine. Argo's the number one movie of the year for me. I hope it wins Best Picture. Number two is Zero Dark Thirty.
See, that I feel very pumped about.
Zero Dark Thirty is good. There's a couple things people didn't like in it. My only gripe, and this will just be me being kind of a movie snob in some ways. So, James Gandolfini is in the movie.
As Panetta.
Right. Who I like. I'm a Gandolfini guy. But he plays a role, while it's an important figure, as you mentioned, in the big picture scheme of things, who's in the movie for like two small scenes at a boardroom and probably a total, I don't know, of, you know, Microsoft Word document worth of lines on a script. Okay. To me, it's almost distracting.
Absolutely. You see him, he's Tony Soprano.
He is Tony Soprano.
You need, I know what you're saying, you need enough time for someone like that to very much establish they are, hey, I'm a different character. You see him twice, you're just like, it's fucking Tony, where's Sil?
Right. All I'm thinking is, why is Tony Soprano helping America get Bin Laden? That's the only thing I could think. So anybody, and I just came up with 10 random names, but, you know, I mean, it just doesn't matter who, like Aaron Eckhart or the guy that played Two-Face or whatever. Give me a good actor who's been in 15 films playing that role. It doesn't distract
just nothing
me.
Nothing is iconic. Right. That's the problem.
I don't need Tony Soprano in the boardroom. So that was the only thing. And it's not like he's typecasting. He can't be in a movie. I saw him recently in, was it Killing Them Softly?
No, you see
in?
Will Smith. You're not like, where's Carlton?
Right, exactly.
He's grown out of it. But Tony, I called him Tony. First of all.
That's kind of the point. But the
he
movie,
hasn't
I think.
Done
was,
much since The Sopranos.
The Brad Pitt movie recently, Killing Them Softly.
Oh, is that like he's a mob enforcer type
or
something like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. But Sopranos in
I
that movie.
I don't like the non Italian mob movies. I'm going to just put that out there.
It's fine. I'm okay with that. But Sopranos in that movie, and I'm not thinking it's Tony Soprano. My point is that you had enough character development there that I'm okay with it.
And he was movie, not like mob right? affiliated.
And that was my main issue with Zero Dark Thirty. Some people were like, oh, it's a lot of torture and all this stuff. Sopranos role was my biggest issue. So I got, that is my number two. Silver Linings Playbook is third. Have you seen it? You wouldn't see that probably.
No. That wounds me deeply.
Okay.
That totally is something I would get into. That is, to me, one of those great litmus tests where if you want to see if your chick's kind of like a deeper girl or not so much there, but at least she's good in bed. This is the world I live in, Grant. You take her to one of those, and if she walks out going, what freaks? Then you're just like, this is not going to last long. But if she's like, wow, I can relate to that, because it's about two like bipolar people, if I recall, utter whack jobs. Yeah, if she's like, oh, that was moving, I really got into that, you've got to keep her until she, you know, skins your cat because you were late for something.
beard. There it
is. Oh, thank God. Oh, weight is lifted. Show can start now, folks.
All right, that was just the prologue. Now we'll get into chapter one. Zero Dark Thirty is two. Silver Linings Playbook is three. We'll talk about Jennifer Lawrence in a second.
Okay. I mean,
if there was a movie for 2 hours where she sat in a chair, it would have rated higher. But I'll put it third. Four is where I start to have a little bit of an internal debate I'm going to go Lincoln 4 and Django 5.
I'm still just shocked you put Silver Linings at 3.
Yeah, I really liked Silver Linings. Saw it twice in theaters. It's a little deeper and artsier. Silver Linings is great in the sense that midway through the movie, it's eliciting emotions that at the end of the movie are completely gone.
Like, wow, okay.
It's dark and you're kind of angry and it's sad. And then by the end of the movie, it's kind of all worked its way into like a well-tied knot. Nice. I just think it's really well written. It's very well acted. I'm a Bradley Cooper guy. I think Jennifer Lawrence is a rising star. I mean, for all the things we could say about her and just, oh, man, she's so hot. I want to see her in Less Clothes.
Well, we'll dissect that in a bit.
She is a phenomenal actress, and she's so good in this movie. So, yeah, I think it's above Lincoln because it's just it moves better. Like, Lincoln was acting next level, writing next level. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like you're getting a history lesson, and it's very, like, History Channel-ish.
That's how I feel. A Lincoln is put out there because almost it has to be put out there.
Yeah.
It's just like, look, we are going to get a juggernaut performance out of Daniel Day, and like you said, no one's going to drop the ball, but this movie's not going to jump off the screen in any way at you. It's simply, holy shit, we haven't made a Lincoln movie in 20 years. Let's do it.
And this one's different. They're all different. Like, I think every director starts making that Lincoln, and I'm just using that as an example, but whatever the movie is, it always gets recycled because they're like, I want to tell my story. This part hasn't been told, or I just read this book. I think this is a neat twist.
And I think this was like the realistic Lincoln. Like, you saw a lot of Mary Todd being a real pain in his ass. And
exactly. You see them dealing with the death of the child, and you really see the fight, which has such parallels to other political junctions throughout history of, like, him just forcing something through. And it's amazing to see how crooked things were then and how they still are and, you know, all these things. I really liked it. I just thought it was, I don't want to say it was slow, but I thought like you felt like you were learning as much as you were being entertained. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. You just wanted to scream in an ignorant voice after saying that. Ain't nobody here for that.
Right, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that.
You better cut this learning shit entertainment.
But Silver Linings Playbook was a little bit better. And I will put it over Django. I thought Django was awesome. I'm not...
We could do an hour on what I thought of Django.
We could.
And I want to get to Jennifer Lawrence's tits instead. I'm just going to give you my abridged take on Django.
Yeah.
Amazing till the final third. Once they kill the Nazi hunter, I'm like, wait, where is this movie going to go? Holy shit, what just happened?
I'm not sure they knew where it was going.
Yes, like, that's how I felt.
I did too. I thought Tarantino at times was like, all right. Damn.
I think Tarantino smoked a bunch of hash, woke up, and he's like, I did what last night? Okay, we can work with this.
That's probably not far off as far as the way it came off writing-wise, but really, really well done. And two-thirds of it were Academy Award type stuff.
The acting was great. It was nuanced. And then Jamie Foxx, who I'm just not a big fan of acting-wise, unless he's burning his lips with a curling iron and in drag, that's my Jamie Foxx. Beyond that, when everyone thought Ray was a great performance, it was a great impression. It was the same way Jim Carrey, as a comedian, can do an amazing Andy Kaufman impression for Man in the Moon. Was it actually nuanced acting? Not so much.
Yeah, I'd say it was more impersonating than acting.
Yeah.
Cracks the top five beer. There it is. There's my top
five
beer.
For the year, yeah, sure. I can't argue with much. I'm not the
biggest.
Skyfall
just gets left off the list.
You know what is so weird about Skyfall? Before it came out, I was pumped beyond belief to see it. Opening weekend rolls around. I think my plans to see it fall through. Could not care less after that.
You're like, I'll wait.
Exactly. It just all of a sudden was like, please come to HBO Go. I'm going to watch you on my little phone. I'm going to eat some cereal while I watch you. Maybe even have a BM if the cereal works fast enough. This is my life now. I just, for whatever reason, fell off my radar completely. And I very much enjoyed even that second of the third Daniel Craig movies. Which one was it? Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people didn't care for that so much. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was good.
It's nothing that's going to get me to the theater. Now, you go to the theater
way too much.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Just more than me.
I go every time there's something there I haven't seen that I want to see.
Which
and
is
generally,
how it should be, by the way. Like, there was a time that's what happened.
That's
it's just
true.
Everyone has goddamn phones that can entertain them, much less TVs.
Right.
It's not even the movies losing to the TV anymore. It's losing to your phone and your iPad.
I would say I go to the movies somewhere between 4 and 6 times a month.
I mean, that's, I would say, in the top 5 percentile for anyone in our age bracket, but yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I don't like seeing movies alone. I think I've seen one movie alone in my entire life. So luckily I have friends who like to go, and I have like two or three of them.
What
they
was
don't
it,
like
by
to
the
go
way?
As
I remember
much.
I remember my one. Same
what the
as you.
Hell
I've seen
movie
one.
Was it that
mine
I
was
saw
300 at 10:30 on a Friday night, and it was me and two other people. An Indian
really?
Couple that kind of got it on almost as
no
we watched
kidding.
300. Yeah, they're pretty frisky.
You know what
you might
it
think
was?
Of them as a conservative culture, but
you know what mine was, actually, now that I think about it? I can't think of the name of the movie, but it was Cameron Diaz.
Okay.
As a teacher. It was a terrible movie. I was like just
oh,
had
wasn't
lunch.
It called, like,
I was
bad like, teacher or something like that?
Yeah, something yeah. like that. But it was like Cameron Diaz as a teacher who didn't care about her job, and she ends up like falling in love with another teacher there who like
was it Jason Segel?
It was Jason okay. Segel. It was the epitome of mediocrity.
Yes, yeah.
And there was no reason.
There's a reason you went alone to that.
So it was a matinee film. It was like a day where I had nothing to do, and I decided I'm going to go sit in air conditioning this summer and eat popcorn.
Did you have to walk out like it was a porno? Like just your face buried in a newspaper?
I definitely wore a hat and yeah. a
trench coat
on a hot day and kept
collar
my collar
popped.
Up. Yeah. Had big framed glasses.
The Carmen Sandiego look.
Absolutely.
Now, earlier you had mentioned Jennifer Lawrence, and you said you didn't really want to get into her at the time, and then kind of hinted that you were rather covetous of the young lady.
Big fan.
If you will, to get biblical.
Big fan, Beard. I've got a weird thing where I get more into celebrity females when
Nothing
I see
so
them.
Nothing weird so far. Nothing weird so far.
When I see them interviewed on like late night talk shows like
well,
Letterman.
They're real.
Or Leno. Because I'm like, oh my gosh.
She's just like me.
I could go to lunch with her.
You put your nuggets in ranch as well?
Exactly. So I saw her being interviewed by fill in the blank. I don't remember who.
Billy Bush. I like that young man.
I believe it was, yes. No, it was either Leno, Letterman, Kimmel, one of these guys.
Okay.
She couldn't have been cooler. She, by the way, does not have a Twitter, which bothers me a little bit.
Dude, there are a lot of times I need to mention these girls, usually for taking a dump on them, because that's where my ego is right now. A lot of these actresses do not have Twitters or like barely use them, and it's usually a publicist. Kate Mara.
I'd rather you not have a Twitter if it's someone fake tweeting for you.
Well, absolutely, because then you come up with something like really witty, and you're like, she's going to fall for this. And you send it, and it's like the publicist talking to you.
Well, just in general, the whole reason of Twitter is like to break down the walls. Social media is designed, if you're a celebrity, for you to interact with the people
yeah.
whom are responsible for helping you get where you got, in my opinion.
No, and it's weird because it seems a lot of actresses aren't so into it. On the other hand, every porno chick loves Twitter.
Well, why wouldn't you? It's a bunch of self-pictures and just... You're cutting out the middleman at that point.
They're going too far with it, though. There's a bunch of porn girls who are like, here I am on Foursquare right now. They're checking in here and there and there. They're going to wind up in a dumpster sometime.
Yeah,
this is
idea.
Just me putting it out there.
I've always thought people were unsafe in that way, like athletes. Shaq used to do a bit when he was with Phoenix, I think it was, where he'd be like, I'm at this restaurant. First person to come touch me on the shoulder gets two front row seats to tonight's game.
I wouldn't do that, and I'm a nobody.
Exactly.
I just don't want to be touched.
Well, not only that, but it's just a bad idea, especially for these athletes. We've seen guys be victimized and you know, be on the wrong end of being robbed for their jewelry. Or
break-ins.
I mean, look at Sean Taylor was
that's,
murdered.
That's where everyone
tragically.
Goes mentally, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, to me, it's a really bad idea. But we see guys do that. Now, if Shaq's 7'3" and 330 pounds, a little bit more capable, perhaps, of fending someone off, I suppose, than, you know, Jennifer Lawrence. But I'd understand not wanting to be on it. The only problem I have, and I hope she's legitimate in this, I don't like when, like, and I'll just say celebrities, female, male, whatever, say, well, I don't want to be on Twitter because I don't think people care what I have to say. Or they're like, and this was the bit Jennifer Lawrence
modesty.
Did. This is the bit she did. She was like, I'm not going to get a Twitter. And I was like, oh, you don't have a Twitter? Why not? It's the wacky, you know, oh, we have to make a big deal about this now. And she's like, well, I mean, what would I do? Tell you, like, I'm eating a sandwich for lunch?
Yes,
and
that's
just,
Twitter in a nutshell.
And it's always, that's always the excuse. It's, well, people don't care. What am I going to tell you where I'm eating lunch? And it's like,
well, then how about you try to be entertaining, you sponge of a being?
How about that's such a minute percentage of what it is. If you had never tweeted in your life,
okay,
Never. If you've had Twitter since 2008 and you'd never sent a tweet, Twitter could still be your number one website when you log onto the internet. I maintain this all the time. My brother won't get it, and I'm trying to sell him on it because he says, well, I don't want to say it. Like, I have nothing to say.
So just follow people.
Follow people. It streamlines you. I do not search the internet anymore. I get online, I go to Twitter, and I have enough columns that if I want to know what's going on in basketball or baseball or whatever, I follow the writers who cover the sport. There is never a time. Now, I still occasionally I'll go to StumbleUpon or I'll go to ESPN.com or whatever. But there's never a time where I'll log on Twitter, search the last half hours on my timeline, and not know something major going on.
Well, it's because so much of today's media is just calling reports from A, Twitter itself, or B, you know, the people that work for them are the ones doing the tweeting.
Fair. No, that's fair.
A lot of times it's just, hey, this is the news. Now I have to go hop on a site, screw around with the HTML, or get some nerd behind the scenes to do it to actually put it on the site. But in the meantime, here it is in 140 characters.
The bottom line is there's no real reason not to be on it at this point.
None.
In 2013. So.
Unless you're just anti-Facebook as well and you don't do the social media thing. Like my mom.
Which I'm guessing is Jennifer Lawrence.
She's a master of email at this point, and she thinks she's the coolest kid on the block because she can send an email.
Right. She's got it down. I'm working with my mom on text messaging right now.
Oh, she just learned that trick. It's a slippery slope, Grant.
I want my mom to be able to text because I hate talking on the phone.
It's better than getting the call, but there are times you might be out late with a young lady, and especially if you're indisposed and you get a where are you from your mother.
I'll never be upset with a text message from my mom, but the call where it's like, ring, ring, okay, I'm going to wait, let this one go. Okay, now we get a voicemail. Now let me listen to it. Hey, Grant, it's mom. Give me a call back. I saw it was you. I was going to call you back anyway. Now I just have to go through the process of deleting my voicemail.
Yeah, yeah. They are weird with technology like that.
So, but in summation, Jennifer Lawrence, where do we weigh in?
I was waiting for this. She seems to keep it real. She was ranting the other day about the fact her tits are horribly uneven.
Was she?
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, she was doing that on another Leno-type show. I'm guessing not Leno. Given, you know, his target audience, they probably wouldn't want to hear about her tits, one being up to her armpit and the other to her navel. She is incredibly hit or miss with me. Like, there was that
she
first...
She definitely is hit or miss as far as, like, just being in the top five and in, like, the 25 to 30 range for me.
Exactly. It is not... Okay, I mean, we're going to put it out there. Grant and I established we're both incredibly good-looking. And, like, women... Not famous women, but women who look as good or better than Jennifer Lawrence throwing themselves at us
right.
Pretty much daily basis. Like the way Shaq would get tapped by some sweaty basketball dude. For us, it's just women coming up and they're like, are you so-and-so? And it's like, no, I'm not that model.
Well, did you tell everyone what
athlete
we were doing?
Or actor.
In a couple months? Did you, that offer we got? Or should I tell?
You can do it. You can do it. So
this is a big announcement then.
It is. I've kind of not tweeted about this. We're just talking about it.
Okay.
That's what you call bookending right there.
It is. So, this is big for Beard and I. Fast and the Furious 6, as you know, is coming out. And there's going to be a couple scenes that Paul Walker and Vin Diesel don't want to be a part of. So what they've done is they've asked me to play Paul.
Too physically rigorous, I think, the reason given.
Exactly. You're going to play Vin Diesel. Now, they're going to do a little extra makeup because...
They're going to have to put a few pounds on me.
Right, and your hair. They need to get rid of your hair, and it needs to be more of a bald head situation.
Make me look shorter a little bit.
But other than that, we have been cast. It's very exciting for us, I know. Fast and the Furious.
You know, it's weird because two titans of radio like this, it's just how often does a guy in radio come in to cinema and just take it over? I know Howard Stern had his private parts moment. But we were pulled aside for this role, and all that the head of Miramax could say, I believe the Weinstein brothers, they said, big things to come, boys. Big things to come. Now, I don't know. Hold on. Getting a little tripped up. I know that Miramax not responsible for something fine like the Fast and Furious. Don't want to spoil the fact that Grant and I are going from action to art house, but I might have let that out of the bag.
You shouldn't have told them that. You shouldn't have said that.
I get excited.
Occasionally, you go a little too far.
You know, because it's just this heart of mine, man. It's just as hard. It's difficult looking this good, and people just assume
it's not easy. I never said it was easy.
Filled with like honesty and good intentions, but I am. And God damn it, I'm sick of people thinking otherwise.
All right, I need to know before I leave your basement.
Mm-hmm. Before we both leave,
who's your go-to?
What, just top celeb?
Yeah,
we're
right
not...
now.
Oh,
number one seed.
Number one.
Who's playing 8 miles from their home gym? The 16 seed to open this tournament.
Oh my God! You know my taste. They go one of two ways. I kind of like dark exotic brunettes, or I like gingers. Those are my two jams, if you will.
I'm bigger on, well, I like both.
Yeah, they're both great. No one's going to bitch about either.
I'm more of a hair and eye combination guy. Everyone always like has a thing that they're known mm-hmm. for. I don't. Like you say ginger, that can be fine.
Well, I'm just attractive yeah. woman, you know.
I like a nice long flowing hair eye combination. Like brown hair, brown eyes is normally amazing to me.
Yes, that's a winner typically.
I have no real I would be a tough criminal to catch in the sense that like I don't have a path I take home every day, if that makes sense.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
You're just wherever the winds may take
right,
you.
Exactly.
God, a go to. You know who I did dig off the top of my head? First of all, the brunette in The Last Stand. Don't even remember her damn name. But if we just want to Google brunette actress Last Stand, she's like a younger Angie Harmon, who is maybe my all-time pick, Rizzoli, of Rizzoli and Isles fame. She, I saw her.
Do you watch that show?
Oh, God.
You do, don't you?
I have never seen Rizzoli and Isles. And it's one of those things where you want to think you're better than it, but you're going to go to the gym at the same time to catch it on the treadmill every week.
Right.
It's never even been treadmill TV. For me, sadly, they just don't do it at my gym. So I've never Rizzoli'd it up. Whoever that brunette is, I want to say it was like a Jamie something or other. She I liked a lot. And is it Kate Mara? The sister of Rooney Mara.
Of course it's Kate Mara.
It is a Kate Mara.
She of shooter fame.
Yes, I am very, very sweet on the Kate Mara. Saw
what a scene that was in Shooter, by the way, where Mark Wahlberg shows up at her door and needs to be nursed back to health. Thank God for that scene.
The references you pull blow my mind.
That's one of my favorite movies.
I'm huge on Kate Mara. So if we have to do the brunette route, we're going to go with such and such from The Last Stand. I'll punch up her name while you're talking in a second. And Kate Mara is my current top seed ginger.
She's not really a ginger, but I will allow.
Really? She isn't?
The court will allow. No, she's not a ginger. There's nothing ginger about her.
Kate Mara?
She's kind of a brunette.
The girl from American Horror Story.
Right. She may have been a ginger in a film.
Oh, no.
I know this is weird, but there's this thing called like hair dye and makeup in Hollywood. But that's fine. You could say Kate Mara. That's okay.
Hush puppies. I'm not happy about that. You've caused me to lose my temper.
I can't really answer this. It kind of changes on a movie-to-movie basis for me.
Well, yes, but just right now.
I mean, off the top of my head, just throwing names out there. Scarlett Johansson's always very high on the list. Zoe Saldana is just
you kind of got me there. You know what actually knocked her down a few notches? Those horrible Bud Light commercials from the Super Bowl.
I enjoyed those.
They were so bad, I couldn't get into the fact that I wanted to pound her.
Yeah. I just kept saying, that's Zoe Saldana. Awesome.
She's amazing.
She's up there. Emily Blunt is very high on my list.
Just saw the 5-year engagement.
Of course you did. You're like on a heavy HBO rotation.
Yes, I just got HBO On Demand back. I'm crushing everything.
That was a good movie. It was fine. It was okay, whatever.
I liked it. I thought it was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And indicative of the horrible things love will do to you.
Emily Blunt, tremendous.
Emily Blunt. Interesting pick there. You're not going to go with the easier Zoe Deschanel over Blunt.
Oh, no chance.
Wow.
Okay. I think Emily Blunt's kind of almost as like obtainable for me as a celebrity gets in terms of just like, you could see her in a bar in, like, the city near your house, I think. She's hotter the version of, like, what you'd see, but you could see her there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't see her as, like, a Hollywood, like Zoe Saldana is just, like, I wouldn't even try to converse with her.
No.
It would be literally a waste of my time.
You would just be happy that your trouser leg didn't look like a broken soft serve machine. Like, I saw her and I didn't jack. And then you would just get a pat on the head. And right. I'd be like, good, Grant.
So that's kind of the top of the board. And then there's just like a revolving number of characters. But Jennifer Lawrence has certainly cracked that list at some point here recently.
Okay. Well, I think we can bail out on that note. We have a movie date.
We do.
We do.
We've got to go film Fast and the Furious 6.
Exactly. Let's do the wrap-up real fast. Grant, they want you on Twitter. It's at Grant H. Paulson because of that dirty dog Grant Paulson. Comeuppance will be yours one day, sir. I am John Papagiorgio. You want me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com, has two episodes uploaded a week to it every Monday and every Thursday. Got my writing as well, and all the other social media links to track me and kill me that I may or may not have mentioned. So until the next episode, Grant, thank you, by the way.
Absolutely, buddy. I had a blast.
Till the next episode, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.